Thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
Hallelujah. Good morning. My task today is to honor the one who saves me, to honor the one who loves me, to honor the one who gave his life for me, that whatever I say here will bring him glory, will bring him honor. It is about him. It is about the Lord. It is about Jesus Christ, who chose to die for me. And I will be sharing the wonderful work that Christ did in my life. I was born in the Philippines. If you have not been there, Philippines is composed of 7,100 islands, and we have 180 dialects. And I was born in the southern part of the Philippines, but I was raised in the northern part. And I grew up in a big family of eight. And you know, Philippines is a developing country, and life there is not easy. I remember in my early years, I was in my fifth grade, we woke up early in the morning, like 5 or 4 o'clock in the morning, and they were selling bread. So I need to get the box of bread and sell that bread. And then around 8 o'clock in the morning, I was selling newspaper. And then after that, until 12 o'clock at noon. And then after the 1 o'clock to 5 o'clock in the afternoon, I was in elementary school, you know, taking classes. And I'm carrying my newspaper with me. And, you know, I'm sleepy and hungry, and then that's what life is. And then after school, at 6 o'clock in the evening, me and my siblings were collecting trash from the neighborhood and dump it into the river. So that's fine, we're kids, it's okay. So we're making some money, just, you know, that when we get back home, we have something to eat, something that we need to share in the table. The place that we were living in Metro Manila, because I was raised there in the city. Metro Manila, by the way, I guess today has around 12 million population, bigger than New York. New York, I guess, has 8 million population. But Metro Manila itself has 12 million population. So I was living in a slum area with a lot of goons and gangsters, drunk people roaming around. Was not a safe place for children like my time. So we were collecting trash, carrying the bags of trash, and I remember, like, because you're already very, very tired, you don't have time to kind of wash yourself, just sleep, and then the next day again, go get your bread, sell the newspaper, go to school, collect the trash, and life was that. And I was so tired of that kind of life. I don't remember any childhood days. I don't know how it is to play with other children. I don't know what life is, aside from a very difficult kind of life. And because of that situation, I ran away. I literally went to the street and begging. I lived for more than a week. I stayed in the market. It's a wet market. Some of the guys there, like, some of them are selling drugs, but I didn't get involved in that. But I ran away. But, you know, because I was hungry, I beg in the street, literally, sleep in the street and beg. And because I remember that, you know, some of my siblings are, they're okay, they're eating, they have a place to sleep, I went back and start over again. And then I went to high school. But when I went to high school, life was different. I got kicked out, I got dropped out. And then my parents sent me back to the southern part of the Philippines in Mindanao. So I went there, finished high school there, and I went back to Metro Manila, go to college. But when I got to college, life again was different. I got involved in fraternity. I got involved in all the, you know, bad stuff in the slum area. Again, I was kicked out. I took Bachelor of Science in Computer Science, but it took me 11 years, five schools. I don't know Jesus Christ. I don't know life. I don't know how it is to be a nice guy. I grew up with people in the slum area with tattoos, and then at the age, my younger age, like maybe sixth grader, I'm already smoking, I'm already drinking. You can see me lying early in the morning, and then people, when they go to work, they have to skip over just for them to pass by, because it's like kind of in the slum area, you know. That's what life for me. I have no relationship with Jesus Christ. I don't know him. I have no idea about scripture. I heard about Jesus Christ, but who he is really, I have no relationship with him. So again, I was dropped out and kicked out five schools in college. Some of my friends died at a very young age. And then one day, I don't know what's going on, but there is something in me, inside of me, that I cannot explain. But I've been drinking since morning, and until 6 o'clock in the afternoon, still I was very confused. So I went to the church, like 6 o'clock in the evening. When I went there, there are a group of teenagers, well, we call it then young professionals, and then they gather there for prayer. That was like Friday evening, 6 o'clock in the evening. And for some reason, some of them are scared. But there is one lady who were brave enough to talk to me and entertain me. And she shared to me the gospel, and then praying for me, and then invited me to come again another Friday. And so I went back another Friday, and then again she started reading the scripture, and then asking me to pray with her, and said, okay, yeah, it's okay. Prayer with me is fine as long as we hold hands. And so I was holding her hand, she was praying for me, I was looking at her, her eyes were closed, mine is open, so go ahead, just pray, that's fine with me. So, and then I keep on coming back, and my life was never the same again. I started to get involved in the church. And that lady who shared to me the gospel, one December of 1997, she gave me a Bible, and I believe that the scripture is inspired word of God, but for some reason I don't understand why the first page is always blank. So there's a blank page on the inspired word of God, and she wrote something there. It says Psalms 34:3-4. So I was very excited, what does that mean? So I need to look for Psalms 34:3-4, and it took me a few minutes to find where is Psalms 34:3-4, and where I find it, it's like gold to me. It's like a treasure to me. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Yes. Well, no cell phone that time. No. So I just waited. But it's like kind of mutuality. But I really like her. I am beginning to kind of fall in love with her. But she's working as a registered nurse. So what happened was she went to Kuwait. She works in Kuwait. And then I continue to get involved in the church. I became the president of the Prayer Warrior Fellowship. So when I became the president of the Prayer Warrior Fellowship of the United Church of Manila, by the way, United Church of Manila is my church in the Philippines, and it is like, it has six services, beginning at 6 o'clock in the morning and ends up with Vesper service at 6 o'clock in the evening. So it's kind of a big church, a couple thousands of people in the church. And so I went there, got involved. I became the president of the Prayer Warrior Fellowship. And then I asked the senior pastor if they can give us a space where we can, you know, gather and be our office at that time. And then he told me that, you know what, there's a space in the attic. Clean that, and that can be your room. So anytime you can go there and pray. So I took with me some of the leaders, and then we went to the attic, cleaned the attic, and I found a boxes of booklets. And then there's a lot of prayer requests there. So I read some of the blue booklets, and then I found my name written there, number one on the list of prayer requests. There are so many people praying for me, my brothers, my siblings, who work there also as security guard, who work there as janitors also. They've been praying for me because I was the black sheep of the family. They've been asking the Lord to change me, transform me, and my name was there. And it was an old booklet. My name was there. So many people praying for me that I will be changed, that I will be transformed, that I will submit my life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Lo and behold, it happens. So I keep on communicating to the girl whom I love, but she was working in Kuwait at that time, and I get involved in the church, and then I became the leaders of many, I don't know, so many ministries in the church. We have I lead a Bible study on Tuesdays evening because the United Church of Manila is surrounded with, it's a university belt. So many colleges are within the church area. So I lead Bible studies for students on Tuesdays, and then I lead the Wednesday's midweek service, and then I lead another Bible study on Thursdays, prayer warriors on Fridays, Saturdays practices from choir and any other practices, and Sunday one whole day from morning till evening. And my life was never the same again. Hallelujah. You know what happened? When my wife, well, not my wife, why did I say that? When that girl came back, you mess up. That lady who shared to me the gospel, who pointed me to Psalms 34, 3 and 4, came back and, hey, did you finish your computer science degree? I said, almost, because someone told me that lady doesn't want to marry a pastor, because if you are a pastor in the Philippines, how can you raise your children? How can you send them to school? How can you feed them? Life of a pastor in a developing country is not like pastoring a church in the United States of America. It's kind of different. So they don't want to marry a pastor. And so I told that lady, well, I'm almost done. And then she went back again in Kuwait to work. And then she doesn't know that I am already in the seminary. And then I was working my degree at the Union Theological Seminary in the Philippines and finishing. And then I became the secretary and bookkeeper of the church. So my ministry is kind of difficult. I don't have a background in accountancy, but they trusted me and then teach me to manage millions of pesos in the church with different accounts, with dollar account and other foreign currency accounts and then the peso account. I don't know how to do this. But by God's grace, I was able to work as a bookkeeper for several years. And then when, again, that lady came back, because she works in Kuwait for 5 years, and then I told her, because no cell phone at that time, but there's, I think the internet is kind of, that was very, very slow, but I think there was internet at that time. I remember. IMRC, something like that, the way you can communicate abroad. And so she came back, and I told her that I am finishing my master's in the Union Theological Seminary, and I will be ordained as pastor. So she didn't like the idea. So again, she went back to Kuwait, she worked, and then I got ordained. I got ordained, and I got involved in planting churches in different provinces. I was invited to speak in many provinces in the Philippines, got involved in church planting, and I planted two churches aside from the group that I work with. And then she came back, we get married, and isn't that amazing? that the girl that I like so much that God uses to change me became my wife. And one thing, because God also used her to pay for my tuition fee. I just want to honor the Lord, because it is true. Because God used her to change me. And then when God uses someone to change someone, God will give the best. God will give everything. So God used her, and then she was paying for my tuition fee, and then I got involved in the church, and then the pastor of the church died. Wow, you know what will happen next. So the pastor died, and I became the pastor of the church. And then, because in my preaching, I believe that the husband and the wife should go together. So I ask her, you need to come home, you need to stay with me, we will serve together. And then of course the idea is, okay, how are we going to raise our children? How are we going to pay the bills? And then I said, I believe God will do the rest. There are things in our lives that we don't understand, but God can do it. So she resigned, and then when she resigned from her work in Kuwait, there's also an agency. It's not an agency, but it is a non-government organization, Fellowship of Christians in Government. And then they asked me if I can work with them, and my job is to organize Bible studies in government agencies. So I started working in the non-government organization, the Fellowship of Christians in Government, and my job was to organize Bible studies. So I went to the Senate. I started the Bible study in the Senate. I started Bible study in Congress. And after 3 years, God did a wonderful work. There were 85 government offices with Bible studies within Metro Manila. And I remember one day having a Bible study with all generals. And then the next day with all colonels. And then they were there because of the memo. I don't know if they listen or not. I don't care. But I need to share the gospel to them. And in the Department of Interior and Local Government, one of the government agency, I started the... Actually, what happened was I called the agency, hey, do you know anybody there who is a Christian? Or do you know anybody there who has a Bible? And then I was talking to the security guard. And then he said, well, I don't know anybody, but I have a Bible. And so I visited the security guard. So we had a one-on-one talk in the security outpost. And then we started a Bible study in the outpost during break. And then he invited one employee. And then we moved from the outpost to the stairways of the agency. We were having a Bible study. And then they invited again another person. And then we're having Bible study, lunch break in the cafeteria. And then some of the people noticed what we're doing. And then the fellowship grow and keep on growing. Until one day, one of the director gave us a place of worship in the Department of Interior and Local Government. So many things that God did in my life, and I want to honor Him. I want to give Him glory. It is God's work. A few years after that, I thought, I'm done with ministering. I'm done with pastoring. My wife, again, we prayed for the family, and then there was an opportunity for her to come to the United States to work as a registered nurse. And so we moved, and I thought, I'm done with ministry, I'm done with church, I'm done with pastoring. Nobody knows me in the United States, so I can just wear shorts, t-shirts. And in the Philippines, if you're a pastor, you have a dress code. They can identify if you are a pastor or not, but in the United States, it's okay. No rules. And so, hallelujah. I can wear shorts, I can wear flip-flops, I can, and then, you know, walk around, it's okay, that's fine. And then I'm done with pastoring. I'm done with church. I'm done with ministry. Sometimes I really don't like it. I really don't like ministry. I hate being a pastor. I just want to be honest. You know why? Why I don't want to become a pastor? Because in the church, all the fingers are pointing on you. All their eyes are on you. If you commit mistakes, all blames are on you. But if there is victory in the church, there is success in the church, all the fingers and on their eyes are on the chairman. Does it make sense? And so I said, why am I here? So I thought I'm done with the ministry, I'm done with pastoring. And so I applied for a job when we got here in 2007 in the United States. And I was hired, and then I was about to start the next day. But God, if it is God's work, really it is, my 2 feet was swollen and I cannot walk for about 2 months. And then after that, I got healed, and then I looked for another job. I was hired again, and then I was about to start working the next day. I have rashes from all over my body, from head to foot. And I remember that before we left the Philippines, me and my wife prayed, and I said, Lord, wherever you're going to bring us, we will serve you. So I remember the covenant that I made with the Lord. You know what? I remember when we try to run away from the Lord. You know, the scripture says in Psalms 139, verse 7, David said, I remember, Psalms 139, verse 7, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? Where can I go where I cannot find God? I made a commitment that wherever I go, I will serve Him. I thought God is not in the United States of America and I'm free. But He's here. He's here. His presence is here. And so I started, because I remember that covenant with the Lord, so I started up picking up the phone, researching on numbers, on friends, Filipinos, and I even lay hands the telephone. Lord, whoever is going to answer me, touch their hearts. Many times I was rejected because, you know, who am I? Nobody knows me. And inviting them in our apartment for a Bible study. And then I keep on doing that, knocking at the door in the apartment complex, building relationship with Filipinos. And after weeks of prayer, I started a home Bible study. And there were a few Filipino families came on that Saturday of October in 2007, and that's the beginning of God's wonderful work of the Filipino-American Friendship Ministry of Christ in Colombia. And in June of 2013, the fellowship was incorporated in South Carolina and became the first Filipino-American church in Colombia. It grows. It is God's wonderful work. Paul said in Galatians chapter 1, verse 15, despite his dark past of persecuting the church, he believed that God has set him apart from his mother's womb to preach the gospel. And I believe that we are here, I am here, because God has set us apart from our mother's womb to preach the gospel. And then there is no place where we cannot find the presence of God. So I just want to give God glory. I want to honor Him because of His wonderful works, of His great works. Not me, but God and God alone, the one who saves me, the one who loves me, the one who died for me. Hallelujah, Lord. This is sharing. I'm sharing, Lord God. I was telling them, what you did in my life. And it's so amazing. It is you. And so I want to honor you, Lord God, with every word. Yes, I struggle with English. I cannot even think of a right sentence, but I don't care. My confidence is in you, and I love you, Lord, and this is about your work. Our prayer, Lord God, today, is that you would continue to work out, Lord God, in our lives, this salvation that we have received in Jesus Christ, and that you would use us mightily for your glory. That wherever we go from here, we bring the glory with us. And then when people look at us, they will see Jesus in our lives. When they hear us speaking, they will hear the voice of Christ in us, because you live within us. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.